It is 6:02 on a Thursday. Triple in for Tiffany. I'm supposed to be here tomorrow, but I ain't doing no more back-to-backs.
I'm out.
I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I'm out. Well, not doing it.
All right, Joel Embiid.
Embiid.
You do that. Yeah. That's what some people call him.
Let's leave. Let's just have a Friday Squidbilly monologue show.
Oh,
let's
you
just
guys,
let him just talk.
Let me
for
tell
three
you something.
Oh,
not only is this city not ready
for that.
Is there
a can of bleach I can drink?
This world is not ready for that. you might be smarter and better off for it if you got 3 hours of me nonstop.
Imagine, well, Rob does on the flyover. I was going to say, imagine Squid doing the flyover. You know, where you and Rob, you're so good at this on the flyover, man. You throw up your own soft toss and then you knock it out of the park. You know what I mean? That's the art of monologue radio. And you have,
yep.
you have
I've done a lot of monologue radio, my
you
friend.
You do. And you have really made it look like an art. You know, it's the whole, hey, did Matthew Bergeron play well today? He did play well today. I saw him.
Is that what
it's
I do?
It's the soft toss and then knock it out of the park. Of course he did.
Unlike most public speakers, I don't need a teleprompter. I can go off the cuff. So I don't know.
I had a teleprompter. I've seen
that computer screen in front of you.
Is that what it is?
Oh, I'm reading. I read. I script my show and read it. Good Lord, sir. Well, gentlemen, I got to tell you. Last night, I looked at watching the Hawks as a burden. I would have rather have watched a Lifetime movie because there's nothing I hate more than October NBA basketball.
Really?
But I got to tell you, I liked what I saw. I still think this team's probably destined for play-in, but, you know, you never know. But there are some new pieces. Trey seems like he's playing unburdened. He looked amazing last night, Dishon. Yeah. I think that is an unburdened thing when the other guy is gone. So
was it a corrective emotional experience for all?
It was, just for one night, though, one night only. It remains to be seen. I don't know. We'll see.
I said this. I want to get your take. I said this the other day. I feel that the vibe for Trey is a good one because he does feel unburdened by the exit of not only John Collins but DeJounte Murray as well. It's finally his team. I think it appears from everything I can see from the outside looking in, he's trying to take Zachary Richichet under his wing, so to speak, and kind of build that relationship. And Jalen Johnson is continuing to grow. So I do feel like for the first time since he's been here, not only does he maybe feel the leader, but he's kind of taking that step towards being the leader as far as on the court and off.
I hope so. So we don't have to resume the typical debates we started having in February about this typical team.
We had that in December last year.
Yeah. It started as early as December. Yeah. I got to tell you, Zachary Richichet, what he came in the game, what, about 4 minutes left in the first quarter, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're about
immediately
right.
Hit his first three. Went one for his first six, but assertive, aggressive, seemed comfortable out there, and finished up with 7 points, and Trey was amazing last night, dishing and scoring. 30 and 12 for him. And how about Onyeka Okongwu? 28 points, 8 rebounds, playing like a man possessed, a demon-possessed Atlanta Hawk, my friend.
Yeah, and let's go back to Richichet for a minute because I know that's kind of the headliner. I didn't have a problem with the fact that he's not a starter, and I know that people look at it and go, how you have a number one overall pick that's not a starter on day one?
Work his way into it.
Fine. Okay, we knew that he wasn't maybe a plug-and-play right off the bat. I'm fine with it. I know that a couple people on the socials were a little bit up in arms. It is what it is. If he's not comfortable, then who cares? You're playing the Brooklyn Nets, by the way, who.
Nothing's expected of them.
The preseason NBA rankings have them at number 29. So you were a 6-point favorite. It's pretty simple. Hawks hit their free throws last night. This is a Vegas cover in a double digit win, and yet they don't and can't pull away when they're supposed to. But I didn't have a problem with Richichet starting the game on the Pine. You mentioned it, comes in, shoots. Here's what I'll say about
kid's 19. He's not even going to be 20 till like April 8th.
And where did he finish? I think he finished 2 of 9, shooting.
7 points.
2 of 8, yeah.
2 of 8. He was not afraid to shoot, though.
No.
And I think sometimes when you talk about a guy that young that's got that much expected of him in their first game in the NBA, you're like, man, he's going to be hesitant. Nah, he was like, I'm going to let it fly. Glass, the bank is open.
I tell you who I like, Dyson Daniels.
Very
disruptive defensively. He was every bit as good as I would think defensively. Anything you get from him offensively is a bonus. 15 points last night.
I also like a guy that gets fouled hard, who doesn't.
Oh, Nick Claxton almost decapitated
him. Yeah, and he didn't stand up and wait for his teammates to go fight for him. He went right after Nick Claxton.
And the tail of the tape does not favor Dyson Daniels.
No.
But he still got up on him, though.
Well, that's what I like. I mean, I like
yes,
the physicality.
Yes, a little feisty,
Yeah, I like attitude. I mean, that's what – look, how many times have we talked about this team and since the run, and we've heard either the coach or a player say, well, yeah, you know, we just didn't have the energy or the passion or we weren't giving it our all, whatever. And you didn't see that when a guy pops up, and he's been – a little bit of, I don't want to say a disappointment, but his career hasn't gotten off to the start after being the 8th overall pick in 2022 that he wanted to be so far. And so I thought he got off to a good start here. And maybe this is, look, we got how many first-round picks we had in the starting lineup last night? Or on the floor at any point last night?
Yeah.
This is a deeper team, a little bit more athletic, bigger, hopefully better defensively, which is, it seems so.
If just do yourself a favor, go randomly pull up the box score at some point today, and you look, and you see, man, this team quietly looks way deeper than it's looked in years.
Yep.
Yeah, and what's crazy is, like, I don't think anybody expected that when DeJounte was traded that you would feel that way about this roster. You know what I mean? You bring in Larry Nance, and obviously him not getting any burn last night. Kobe Bufkin still dinged up, so you have Vic Krejci handling the ball. When Trey's off the floor, I thought was really, one of the more interesting things last night. But you're right. I mean, I expected Dyson Daniels to be a difference maker defensively, and I love, obviously being able to do that. But I thought his ball handling skills were way better than I imagined they would be. For a guy that hasn't watched him play that much, he was making, he was doing some good things on the offensive side of the floor too. So I'm just bullish, man. Like, it just felt like things were you win a game that you probably don't shoot your best. You definitely didn't shoot your best from the free throw line, and yet you're able to beat a team that you're supposed to beat down the stretch. Trey, to your point, this is how you're supposed to look in game one of an NBA season. I thought he looked explosive.
Yep.
Like, fresh,
well, the whole team
springy,
running explosive.
Like, he looked like a guy playing in the first game of the year, and that's what you're supposed to say. Like, I was like, man, he looked as explosive as I've seen him in a while. So that was nice to see, obviously.
Can we get anything from DeAndre Hunter, though, before the inevitable 2 months on the disabled list?
Well, we're going to have to if Reza Shea is not going to be on the floor to start these games. I mean, I told Dylan this yesterday when we were talking about it. I fully expect DeAndre to start the first 20, 30 games, and that should transition into Reza Shea once he's more comfortable. But I'm with you. I mean, like, right now, you kind of need that guy to be something. When we talk about the first-round picks and the talent on the floor, that's got to be one of them, right? Well, I mean, that's got to be a guy we talk about.
I think that's unfair. DeAndre Hunter had more points than fouls last night, and you should be happy with that. He almost –
that's progress.
And he even had more rebounds than fouls. So, look, he's – what are you going to do? Part of my NBA season – new season kickoff, tip-off resolution is to not complain about the exact same things that I've complained about in the years past. DeAndre Hunter's on that list.
That's a good resolution.
I have moved on from DeAndre Hunter complaining because if you're still complaining, and I know you're not really complaining, Rob, but if you're still complaining about what DeAndre Hunter isn't, and that's you just are refusing to accept what it is, and you've drafted his replacement.
I was going to say that they're aware of it.
So
obviously.
Yeah. So let's move on. Let's all grow beards with Trey.
Yeah, that makes him look like he's 37 years
old.
I love it.
I also love beard Trey.
I like beard Trey.
Yeah.
There's a joy in beard Trey.
Rob, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Bo and I watched some of the preseason buildup videos that the Atlanta Hawks had put out, and it was like kind of documentary style through training camp. Followed them to the Atlanta Falcons game when they were all there. And they made a cameo on the big board. It was against the Chiefs. And the conversation between Trey and Zachary Risacher while they're at the game, kind of like a filmed from a distance. And, the camera's 40 yards away, but he's mic'd up and you can hear Trey talking. We don't usually get that insight into Trey Young.
Yeah.
We don't usually get to hear the conversations that Trey has with the younger players. And
we haven't seen much about his personality.
Well,
just
and I
the
don't
bad
know,
things.
I don't know that the conversations have always – I don't know that they haven't sounded like that.
Yeah.
But it seemed like a a mature leader version of Trey, to where he's talking to Zach and he's saying, you know, you'll get comfortable this. I envision this. And this is like in the tunnel at Mercedes-Benz. And he's like, this is what I envision for you. I envision you being a scorer. This is a basketball town. Like, these people will love you. You know, if we're a good team, they'll show up, this, that, and the other. And I thought it was great, man. I thought it was great insight, something we haven't seen much. And I'm on board, man. Like I've been saying all week, I'm ready to be heard again.
Real quick before we go to break, you know who was heard last night? Was Kennesaw State. Got their first FBS win. First time they've beaten a Division I team in 2 years as well. They beat Liberty. I think Liberty was like a 27-point favorite or something, Rob. They were on a 17-game win
streak. Wish I'd have put a hundy on that.
Yeah, dude, you'd have made some money. We know you'd have been buying breakfast this morning.
I'd be buying breakfast.
But
now you get nothing because I didn't bet.
Shout out to Kennesaw State, though. Beating their first FBS win. Hoo-de-hoo! Breaking a winless. It's also the first time in 23 years a team 0-5 or worse defeated a team 5-0 or better. How about that?
Well, so Charlie Brown finally kicked the football, and the Coyote finally caught the Roadrunner, and Kennesaw State finally wins the game.
They're going to be dominant. You just watch out. It's on now.
Vegas, by the way, over-under Hawks wins, 36.5? Hopefully they'll be better than
that. 35.5 more.
Yikes.
I think they're going to be a little better than that. Maybe we can scratch and claw towards a 6, 7, or 8 seed, not do the play-in. But a good start for the Hawks.
41-41, here we come.
Boy, Tampa Bay devastated by injuries. It sucks when you lose your number one receiver and then you lose your number two receiver as well. But Tampa Bay may have something to say on Sunday. Falcons, Buccaneers. How are the Buccaneers going to defend the Falcons? How are the Falcons to defend the Buccaneers? Defensive-minded segment coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Triple in for Tiffany today and tomorrow. Yes, I will do the back-to-back. I've decided. Well, gentlemen, Hawks get a win to open the season last night. Yes. DeJounte Murray may have fractured his hand in his Pelicans debut. Wow.
That's rough, man.
That's kind of rough.
Sounds
man.
Like a New Orleans problem to me.
Sounds like a New Orleans problem to me. And Mike Evans, and he's got that bad hamstring issue. And, they're going to be down two of their receivers, their two best receivers, and, of course, Chris Godwin as well. That's a Tampa Bay problem,
you
brother.
You gosh darn brother. Right it is.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. Yeah.
That was bad, too, because that was a beautiful pass by Baker to Mike Evans. You just saw when it locked up because he had it right in his fingertips.
He was,
and that bolt of lightning you feel when your hammy hurts, like, ugh.
Well, he was fighting, and he was playing through pain.
He was already dinged up with it, dealing with it, yeah.
He went out there trying to play. I mean, in all seriousness, you know, I don't know any way to talk about Mike Evans other than complimentary – and just almost sound like a crush. Like Mike Evans, when you draft a player, every year in April, when you get excited about a guy getting drafted to your team, you wish, pray, hope, whatever it is you do to put that feeling in the atmosphere, that they turn into a Mike Evans. Which is the epitome of a professional.
Is he like unheralded like Larry Fitzgerald kind of was? Kind of underappreciated?
Way more. Because
you could say that about Larry Fitzgerald too.
You could, but I felt like Larry Fitzgerald always had, and correct
kind of got his bouquets.
Yeah, I
think you're right. Probably a little bit more.
Yeah, and everyone kind of.
Not where they play, but yeah.
But I thought he got more love nationally than Mike Evans does. I think Mike Evans is.
Oh, he's Hall of Fame.
Easily been one of the top five receivers since he stepped in the league, yet no one ever wants to give him that love, and all he does is perform.
I believe there's only one active player, I think I heard this yesterday, that has more yards receiving than Mike Evans right now. And I might even have those names flip-flopped, but that guy was traded to the Chiefs yesterday. Mm-hmm. So DeAndre Hopkins is definitely another guy but I think it's this, man. In my opinion, it's Mike Evans is in Tampa. It's in, you know, smaller market team, not in a national spotlight, and he's been there his whole career. Where at least DeAndre Hopkins is bounced around a little bit. You get headlines like yesterday where you start to notice things like that. Mike Evans was a nobody, well, in a lot of people's eyes, and then Tom Brady comes out and it's like, oh, yes, Mike Evans guy's pretty good, won the Super Bowl. And then it kind of just gone back that way where everybody that sees him play is like, oh, my gosh. And yet at the same time, to both of y'all's point, nationally, it just doesn't seem like it's ever there.
Could you guess how many touchdowns you think Mike Evans has in his career off the top of your head? Not you, Mike. I know you got it in front of you.
100?
You got it in front of you, too?
No.
Yeah, exactly 100 touchdowns. He's got 13 against the Falcons. But since 2014, when he was drafted, he's got just a hair under 800 catches for 12,000 yards and 100 touchdowns. He's already got six this year. I mean, if he plays another 5 years, he'll have 18,000 yards receiving.
He'll play 5 more years?
I said if. I mean, I don't know. But if he did.
Well, you know, he was also looking at another milestone. What is it, 11 consecutive years, 1,000 yards receiving, tying Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
That's in jeopardy now with a hamstring injury.
But you mentioned
and that's something he's actually cognizant of. He's like, yeah, I would love to have that
one. Oh, yeah.
He really prides himself on that one.
But you mentioned how many, DeAndre Hopkins. Well, DeAndre Hopkins, though, has forced his way out of places. Even when he got bad in Tampa, Mike Evans kept his head down and just kept producing. It didn't matter if it was Jameis or whoever was throwing, playing quarterback for him in his career. He just has produced every single year.
We're going to move on from the Mike Evans conversation, but to your point, I thought last offseason that he would be going somewhere else, looking to find a payday and maybe win to close out his career. I think he signed, 3-year deal this offseason? And you're like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, I mean, Buccaneers for life. And I think that's
sometimes guys are just happy where they are.
Yeah, and look, man, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Tampa, but it's a pretty good place to live. You know what I mean? Like, pretty good place to live aside from the natural disasters. Yeah. So, but that's a cool spot to live. And to everybody's point, to wrap that up, like, I'm sad for him that he's hurt, but man, it doesn't pain me not to have to see him line up with the Falcons in a huge game.
Especially coming off what we saw on Sunday. That was just so disappointing. How do you quantify it? It's just something about it. And I like what you said. I'm not going to question effort. But sometimes, and I even noticed this in my little mediocre baseball career, some days the energy just isn't there for whatever reason. Yeah. You can't quantify it. It's something in another dimension that's affecting you. It just seemed it was just even all the way. You said it was kind of a dead atmosphere in there on Sunday. A buddy of mine went to the game on Sunday. He says, "Man, it was just like a wake in here."
They did we were in a commercial, and I looked out and they were playing. You know, they're doing what they normally do, the stuff that normally gets the crowd gets rocking. People were just sitting there, and I was like,
"The crowd went mild."
Third down.
Yeah, and you're like, and you hear,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
oh, man, and
it was rough.
Listen, the nest over there, and still, like always, shout out to those guys. They were, and we've kind of kicked it around, Rob, like what the reasoning was. I think there's like a number of different things you can point to. First of all, we've played a lot of primetime games this year, and that was like a 1 o'clock. The roof, I love the fact the roof was open, but there was something sleepy about the sun kind of shining on that side of the stadium, kind of beating down a little bit. And also, look at what the night before was for a lot of these fans, the Georgia fans and that.
Right.
I also feel like there is a ton, at this point, there's a ton of non-Falcons fans that hold season tickets, like corporate whatever, that if they can't get rid of their tickets, they just go unused. You know what I mean? It's like, we're going to sell them to the Steelers and Cowboys fans. the Seahawks fans aren't going to fly down here, like whatever. So that was frustrating. It definitely was, but there are games like that in the NFL. It's frustrating because obviously you need to win those games. I think Raheem kind of talked about that yesterday in his coach's show with Dukes and Bell. But at the same time, it's like how many times do we see college football coaches like, this atmosphere, man, if you can't get up for this, you might be dead. You know what I mean? And you realize over the course of an entire NFL season, it's like it's just different. You know what I mean? These guys have families at home. It's 17 games. It's not a poor me thing. It's just it's hard. You're cognizant of it. But sometimes it can still be hard to kind of hit that next gear.
Well, you know, going to Tampa, the energy is going to be good. I can tell you that. They do a pretty good job with their fans are pretty good down there. Normally, when they're good, they're up. And they're going to be up because, you know, it's a first-place matchup. The division's on the line, could be on the line really Sunday. And the thing that scares me is you look at the injury report yesterday, and you can talk about their injuries all they want. I don't give a damn who on their team is injured. What I care about is ours. And Matthew Bergeron practices yesterday, full participant, which is great news. I mean, that is the best news they could get. Problem was, I got the guy that didn't practice yesterday because of injury is one that scares me. That's Ryan Neuzel. and his knee, and he got rolled up a little bit in that one of the scrums that I think Algier was the one running the ball, and that's not his fault, but it ended up being a scrum. Came off. He ended up coming back in. But, look, I love Matt Hennessy. I think Matt Hennessy, if injuries don't get in the way, he could probably be the starting center of this team and not Drew Dahlman. But I'm scared, man. I get scared when I see Vita Vea coming at us because Vita Vea is a
– Didn't he hobbled a bit, though? Like everybody else, I would imagine.
I was going to say.
I don't know. This is a good question for Mike because I think it's his hamstring. Does the hamstring really hamper a guy 6'5", 350 pounds? What is that?
It was just a steamroller. Yeah, he's not having to do a whole lot laterally.
What is his top speed on his GPS tracker for?
You know what I mean? I know the burst, right? I get it, but
yeah, I think it actually I don't know this, but here's what I think, and I've always thought as far as defense linemen go, it hurts your ability to anchor more than anything, right? It's not really so much firing off because I don't think you have that long kind of flex where your leg is getting fully extended a lot of times the way, you know, that bothers your hamstring. But sometimes I do think it's your ability to anchor on double teams, which is obviously a huge deal for him. But look, man, he's the kind of guy that's long in the tooth enough to where you'd say, you know, he's going to get those veteran rest days sprinkled in anyways. And so when I look at, you know, practice reports and things like that, I'm like, you know, Vita Vea is I think he's just one of those guys that he's going to show up and ball out on Sunday regardless of what kind of reps he gets. He doesn't have – and that's the beauty of what Vita Vea does. He doesn't have this, like, in-depth scouting report where he has to, like, recognize all these formations. You know what I mean? Like, he's the kind of guy that the guy behind him, Levante David, is going to say, hey, man, trips left. And he's going to shift over about 2 feet. And you know what I mean? He's like that's just what he is. So,
his job's to napalm the three guys in front of him, basically.
It's not – so like, he's not the kind of guy that's going to have to step in and, you know, switch off coverages in a pattern-matching scheme. It's like, dude, I'm going to anchor this A-gap, probably swat somebody in the head and see if I can get in the backfield. And so that's – I think if you're a Buccaneers fan and you're looking at Vita Vea's health, it's like, it is what it is.
Well,
you know what I mean?
For whatever it's worth, he was not on the injury report yesterday at all. So – they might be without Tyke Smith and Payne Durham, one of the backup tight ends. But, you know, William Golston, it was limited. Bucky Irvin not practicing is a good thing. Not for them, but they have found a little bit of a three-headed monster in the running game, Rob. They ran for 160 yards against us last time. They want to run the ball. I think that this their offense might literally turn in a little bit of a ground and pound against us and then use that to open up the passing game.
This game is not going to look anything like the one a few weeks ago.
Probably
this
not.
This might be some old-fashioned slobber knocker thing, right?
And Rock kind of talked about it on Dukes and Bell yesterday. He said, hey, I have all the faith in the world that Todd's going to look at the holes that were there last time, and they won't be there this time.
All right, coming up, Tua didn't retire, but this college quarterback at a major school has decided to hang it up. It's coming up next in some college football. Get back into the Falcons as well. Hawks 1-0 after winning last night over Brooklyn. Yay. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 again. Oh, going to be hyped in Blacksburg on Saturday. Noon kickoff. Battle of Techs. They can't spell tech up there, though. They spell it with a K.
I'm just still mad that the Falcons don't come out to this song anymore.
Cold-blooded entrance in college football.
I remember seeing Mike Johnson run out to this song one time.
Just let it percolate. Let it percolate.
I was
going to
say, man. I don't even want, like, I don't, what were we going to talk about? I don't even know. I'm so in the moment right now because I'm just picturing that big blow-up tunnel with the flames shooting towards the sky in the Georgia Dome.
Then the couch is burning after the game. And torching cars.
Like, used to run out of the thing, feel like you got your eyebrows singed off.
You know they won't let them do that no more? You can't use fire anymore.
Why?
Because
fire good.
Like just here or in the NFL?
In the NFL. Somebody caught one of their mascots on fire. And I can't remember. I'll Google it real quick. Before the segment's over, right. I'll give you guys the full story. But somebody caught one of their – it was a couple of years ago. We were already in Mercedes-Benz. And it was only a couple of years ago, but somebody's mascot caught on fire or something and on the sideline because of the flame. And they said, all right, well, you guys got to do, like, this is, like, stupid-ass, like, puff smoke now. It's just kind of
that stinks.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Hawks get a win last night in their opener. Got, what, Charlotte on Friday. Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech at noon. Georgia's off this weekend. Atlanta United.
Let's go.
Where did that come from?
Let's go.
I just, they were an afterthought to me, and they go up there to Montreal, get the victory. Mike Conte talking trash to the fans up there, those
awesome?
Smelly French people. Hairy armpitted broads
what
up there.
What was the word, Bo, the other day? Poutine?
Poutine.
Poutine.
Yeah, we went up there, ate their poutine, and sent them home early. That's what we did. That's what we did.
Okay. Well, if you don't, a lot of relationships have ended for lack of eating.
Yeah.
Dylan.
Calm down. Dylan. I was like, dude, I'm not going there. Of course, Rob does.
Dylan, you got to be listening.
I'm ready for it.
Rob is here. Tiffany's not here. Rob is going to say something that will all get us banned. By the way,
ding.
Real quick, it wasn't I was wrong.
On it, man.
The mascot did not catch on fire, but they did catch the field on fire. Is what it was.
Is that what it was?
It was in Tennessee, and they ended up banning it temporarily, but then they banned it completely. But yeah, they were bringing back. They were retiring Eddie George and the late Steve McNair's jersey a couple years ago, and flame shot horizontally from one of the units.
Man.
And caught the field on fire. They got it put out, but no way it was injured. But then the NFL has since banned it.
One of the most epic rivalries in NFL history, Eddie George, Ray Lewis.
Dude.
You know, Eddie George is sneaky, sneaky big.
There's nothing sneaky about it.
I mean, I know he's barely taller than Abe Gordon, but
stop.
And Chris Thomas, but you know, he is 6'5".
Let's have this conversation. How tall is Abe Gordon?
Abe Gordon is, if he's 5'10".
Okay. So
5 foot nothing, 100 nothing.
This is what happened, Rob. I'm talking.
It's a miracle.
Somehow the name of Eddie George comes up. And me and Abe Gordon are standing there. And he goes, you know, Eddie George is big. And I was like, yeah, he's a good size. You know, he's I said, I don't know if he's Derrick Henry big, but he's big, you know, big running back. He goes, he's probably your height.
No.
And I looked at him, I go, dude, I'm every bit of like 6'6". Like, there's no way Eddie George is my height. He's like, from where I'm standing, he kind of steps back and looks at me and goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, he's 6'3". Like, Eddie George, 6'3".
I know, but and that's what my thing was. I guess I was like, Abe, Abe being 5'10", I'm like, I don't know if the angle's just weird
and
for you looking at me.
I might have
like,
given him an inch,
ballpark.
Too, because I don't think he's 5'10". Yeah, I think he might be 5'10" with lifts in his shoes.
Well, guys, this is kind of sad. I remember a good buddy of mine in college. Good buddy of mine in college playing football. He had no hope of going to the NFL. He was a good player, though. He had to stop playing. Too many concussions. Well, that's the case with NC State's quarterback, Grayson McCall. Done. Another concussion. Can't play no more. Finished.
It's unfortunate. I think it's a new reality for a lot of people, yep. And you've started to see it happen more and more. I mean, like I was reading the other day about Luke Kuechly. Kind of the conversation. He was on Dale Jr.'s podcast.
I saw that. That was excellent.
Yeah, the Dale Jr. download.
Dale Jr. does such a good job with those interviews, and he's had Chipper on. He's had a number of yep. you know, athletes that have these conversations.
Greg
and Dale
Olson.
Dealt with it. Yeah, Dale dealt with it himself.
Yep.
At the end of his career, I mean, he would sit out. You know, I know set out a couple months of like one of his final NASCAR seasons, and reading you know Dale's book, his conversation with himself always was, I got to the track. And he would basically start writing down how he felt, and it was, I feel like I've had 3 beers. I feel like I've had 4 beers. Oh. And his guy, you know, his doctor would tell him, all right, if that's the scale you're going to use, I want you to write that down every week. Every time you go to the track, I want
not,
you to
not
say.
Not in a good way.
Not in a, yeah. Like,
in a way, I'm going
like
200 miles an hour.
I feel like I have a slight buzz. Like my eye, you know, my eyesight's not focusing in quick enough.
Dale, how do you feel? Well, Doc, I feel like I had 4 buds.
Right. And that was
four buds
that's
deep.
The funny part of it is like, it was not funny, but Dale, the guy was like, if that's the scale you're going to use, I want you to write it down every single time.
That's
I know.
A good scale, though.
So he's like, dude, one time, you know, got in a slight accident, and it was like, man, I feel like I've had 6 beers. And then it was like, you know what? I feel like I've had a beer today. I feel like I've had 4 beers. So the conversation between Luke Kuechly and him was very interesting because Luke's like, I think it happened, you know, the year before he retired, maybe, and he just got in the locker room. He goes, man, I've had a number of concussions. I don't know how many more times I can do this. And so it's unfortunate, man, just to bring it all back around. It happens. The Tua conversation is going to be ongoing. I'm terrified for Tua personally because he's one of my favorite college players of all time.
Yep.
To where to the point where, like, when I'm watching a Miami game, I'm going to be like, holy crap, you know, hit the floor. But That's his personal decision. But I don't mind the NC State quarterback saying, hey, it is what it is, man. If you don't think you have a future in the sport and, you know, you don't like where you're at as far as your health, then what kind of decision is it?
Hey, what do you guys think about this news coming out with Oregon State and Washington State? So next year they're going to play each other twice because of the scheduling, because they're still trying to get the new Pac-12 together, which will start in 2026. Because of a hole in their scheduling, they're going to play once on November 1st with Oregon State hosting, and then again on November 29th in the regular season finale with Washington State hosting. Yeah. So it's going to be a very NFL-type thing for them. I mean,
here's what I would do.
I don't like it.
Here's what I would do.
I don't either.
If the November 29th game, I would just straight up call it the Pac-12 Championship. And I would just put banners all over the field. I'd paint the field.
Just market it that
Pac-12
way.
Championship game. It's the end of the season. You're like, let's see if we can crown a champion today.
Well, what if you do this? What if you call both of them the Pac-12 Championship game and you do it like
aggregate?
Aggregate. So whoever had the aggregate score wins, right? Hey, man. Well, look, we
know. Like soccer.
Can you imagine?
That's the whole point. Like, make it fun. Be like, hey, what do you have to lose?
Can you imagine the situational football being played at the end of that? Like, where you're not in the 2-minute drill. Like, you're losing, but you're in 4-minute mode. Like, you're down by 10, but you're running the ball and you're kneeling on it.
Take a kneel down. Yeah, coach, you're losing.
We want to lose.
Doesn't matter.
We don't want to lose by 17, only by 10.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Schedule. I know schedules are done years in advance, but they make. Scheduling as complicated as like the D-Day invasion. It's like, come on, can't you find somebody to plug in?
How many moving parts are there, man?
I just think it's the craziest thing. I don't know what to think. I think you're onto something, though. Make it the Pac-12 Championship, but come out and literally use the aggregate system that the MLS was using and a few years ago when Atlanta United won. Remember, Atlanta, you played two games no matter what when we won the title.
Yeah.
We played up in New York. And we beat them, I think, I can't remember, it was like 2-1 or 3-1 or something. Came down here, and all we had to do was score, have a two-goal, not let them score two goals or something like that.
End in a tie, yeah.
And it was wild. And now that could be fun. That could make the games interesting.
Can you imagine Vegas trying to wrap their head around that? What's the line on a game when you're an aggregate? Like, what?
It's off the board. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, you can't talk about the Falcons without the underlying persistent narrative, defense or lack thereof. We'll get into it. Falcons getting ready to head down to Tampa Bay for a big divisional game against the Buccaneers. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Do you want a smart, lasting, clean, do you?
I do.
Zero Res. We all want a smart, lasting, clean, and Zero Res can do that. For you.
That tagline could fit so many products. Shout out to Zero Res for putting that together. It's like, you want a smart, lasting, clean? Get Crest toothpaste. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can do that too. Yeah.
Go to the clinic if you want a smart, lasting, clean. Hey, Atlanta United playing on Friday. Unexpectedly so. Awesome.
We ain't
That's
scared.
Only because you gave up. I never gave up.
We ain't scared.
Hawks are winning the opener last night, getting ready for Charlotte. Zachary Richesse, 7 points in his debut for the Atlanta Hawks. Georgia Tech at Virginia Tech on Saturday at noon. Georgia off as they get ready for Florida. And, of course, Falcons,
Apple
Buccaneers
jeans,
on Sunday.
Boots win the Is that Florida?
I just love when the Techs face off, man, you know? It's just one of those things that just makes sense to me.
One Tech is more techy than the other Tech.
Yeah.
I hated, I've never liked Virginia Tech because they were the somewhat blemish on that 90 Tech team's national title.
That was a tie. Yep.
Yeah, that was when it was the, but they called themselves, they weren't, didn't they, it was, weren't they like VPI then or something? Like,
they were.
They weren't Virginia Tech. They called themselves VPI.
Polytechnic?
Yeah,
what it was?
Polytechnic Institute.
That's what Auburn used to be, Alabama Polytechnic. Until like the 60s, I believe.
Text the North Avenue Trade School, right?
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Defense. Can the Falcons fix this issue? Is it the Jimmies and Joes or is it the X's and O's,
well,
my friends?
What? I think it depends on which part you're talking about.
Well,
because
defending against the run, what are quarterbacks complete 72% of their passes against them as well?
Well, part of that's the fact that you play 7 yards off the ball. your DBs play off, and that's part of the reason why you're not getting home with sacks, I think, is because you've played.
Well, that's Jimmy Lake's team. I mean, that's.
But I was going to say, it's also the reason you've been one of the best in the NFL at limiting explosive plays.
Exactly.
Until last week.
It's got to all come together.
Right.
If I said today that Baker Mayfield is going to go 18 of 24 again for 106, I think it was 180 yards, would you take it?
Well, it depends, because they do have a three-headed monster in their backfield.
Yeah,
so,
they do.
Says Raheem Morris.
But they, well, I agree with him.
They started the season with their starter in one. He's really done a nice job. Ended up getting injured. They really had their young guy, number seven, going out there, really being productive. And he started off as a gimmick guy. Then he moved to a running back. Then he moved to an explosive guy. He had some really good plays against us. And then they really got open a couple weeks ago when they had some injuries. And 44 stepped out there, really opened this game as a kickoff returner versus us. Then they opened up with a really big game versus New Orleans a couple weeks ago. And he's done nothing but be productive for those guys. So when you look at those guys, have a chance to get out there in their run game and really open it up with a bunch of guys that we know. I know Carb does a great job with those guys in the run game and their upfront people. They've really been productive in running the football the last couple of weeks, which I know was something that wasn't perceived strength for those guys in the beginning, which has become that.
I just love the fact, number 44, I'm like, who? A running back? Number 44?
He's stripping them down of their humanity. They're just a number. We're all just numbers. We're all just livestock on this mortal coil.
I'm here for it. Number 44, the running back. Number 44. You're like, yes, dude.
Robert Newhouse.
You just know that guy runs hard. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even have to watch tape to know that he runs hard with the football.
Well, I guess that's good for Tampa Bay with Godwin and Mike Evans out. At least you can kind of pivot to their run game, focus on that. This is going to be a drastically different looking game than what we saw a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think both teams are going to try to run the football because I think both. I think they need they did it well last time, and they know they need to.
Yep.
We. And right, Raheem told Mike and Carl yesterday, he said, look, there were holes there we exploited last time. I don't think Todd will allow that to happen again. I think Todd will take that away. So I think you might go in here looking to see if they're trying to take away the pass game. If they are, I think you're going to try to run it down your throat with your two-headed monster. To that point, though, we have been better against the run the last 2 weeks. And in fact, last week, Seattle wanted to run the ball against
you. They did on their first drive, though.
They did, and then you shut it down after that. They're
one-dimensional outside of that.
But that's great. They ran the ball 20-something times. They tried to run the ball, is my point, and they couldn't. And other than the one drive that A.J. picks off Andy Dalton against Carolina, they tried to run the ball, and they didn't really do it other than one drive. To me, that shows growth.
Yeah, I would be curious to see, just from a defensive standpoint, how many people we're willing to commit to the blitz if we can find them in obvious passing downs. And what I mean by that is we have become so good at coverage and so good at tackling, it feels like, by some of our DBs. Now, I know a lot of people look at DK Metcalf last week and they're like, man, how can we let that happen? Like, okay, he had four catches. I know there were explosives, but he had four catches. You know, there's some thought out there about A.J. Terrell and, you know, his game the last couple of weeks. I get it. There's been a couple of issues. But my point being is that if you don't feel like that this is the receiver group that can give them explosives, all right, then maybe you trust your DBs a little more to make those one-on-one tackles if they're able to complete it and commit an extra guy to some of these blitz packages that you have and say, hey, we're going to bring one more than you can block. We're going to force Baker to get it out of his hands, all right, which means he has to throw it probably in front of the sticks. And we trust our guys to make those tackles in front of the first down markers. So, I'll be honest. I have looked at our pass rush front, backwards, sideways, whatever it is, and I don't see it right now. And so my thought is that they're just going to have to continue to draw up ways in the sand to be able to get home because Judon's not getting there. Arnold Abakady as good as I think he's played.
He's being held every play though, isn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, I'm the
last person you want to ask about that. Don't ask a lineman if the guy's
how
being
dare
held.
You, sir.
The problem for me is Judon is doing kind of what you would. He is doing kind of his job. He's getting held at times. He's also getting double teamed at times. And when that happens, that Ebikadi is winning, but he's not getting home. He overran a play, the touchdown pass to Kenneth Walker. Ebikadi wins, but he overran the play. And Geno stepped up and into a little gap and threw the football for the touchdown. Also, Rob, Mike, and I touched on this yesterday. if Troy Anderson comes back this week, I rotate Caden Ellis and Ebba Cady and that other edge rusher spot and leave just Troy and Nate Lamon in the middle of the play.
Well, I don't agree with that necessarily because and Raheem talked about this. Arnold Ebba Cady has played well. It's just that you don't see the things that you want him that we want him to do, right? I mean, he's played well. When you look at some of the stunts, he folds back in well. He's getting pressures well. He's doing some of his other things well. It's just that we don't see him getting sacked, so we don't think he plays well. I would be concerned to take out a guy that we think is playing decently, that Raheem has already talked about, PFF grade, whatever Raheem wanted to say, and to put somebody in a position they're not comfortable with because they might have more sacks. I don't necessarily think that correlates.
I'm not saying bench him. What I'm saying is when he comes out, he played 50% of the defensive snaps last week.
He had to.
Which is, to me, the perfect. And he played two less snaps than Matthew Judon. It's a good. I have no issue with that number. What I'm saying, though, is when he comes out, move Caden over. So that other 50% that Arnold's not getting off that edge, let's see what Caden can do. Because when you run those, Caden Ellis does a really good job of the integrity of his passing lanes, the rush lanes. He stays in those. He doesn't ad lib. He does exactly what you ask him to do. That's the only reason why could we, when we see breakdowns at times in those pass rush lanes, if he stays in it when he's on the field in that situation. Could that equal a sack or two more?
Play comes to him, basically, just because he stays at home.
Well, and to Rob's earlier point, I think the conversation is, can you get them in obvious passing downs to kind of unleash a Caden Ellis in that? Because I do think differently. To me, the value that Caden Ellis would hold, if we're going to put a Nate Lamon, Troy Anderson package at linebacker, to me, the value that Caden Ellis would hold would be to take out one of the interior guys and walk him up and say the B gap and run pick stunts with him and Arnold Ebba Cady on the same side. To me, there's a lot of value in that. The problem is, in order to do that and take out one of the bigs, you have to be in like third and six plus, right? And I don't know how the game plan will play out with the way that they know they have to play and with a vastly improved offensive line that they have and the three-headed attack at running back. I don't know that we'll find them in many situations like that. So we're going to have to keep the extra defense tackles in. You're going to have to hope that David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett and company can run some of these stunts and get home.
Well, Justin Simmons is a guy that we've watched on film that when he comes in the box, he's very good at playing in the box, okay? He's physical down there. He's not afraid to put you on the ground. So maybe do you sneak him down in some situations where you look at the right personnel, you see a personnel matchup that they've come on the field with, and you just say, all right, Justin, get down, you know, you call him in that box and you let him eat.
Yeah. I don't, and the thing is, all the situations we're talking about, scenarios, they're all going to play out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not something where we're going to look at and say, well, you know, the theme of the day is going to be to do this. They have to be able to do all of it, and they have to keep Liam Cohen, the Tampa Bay offense coordinator, they have to keep him guessing. Because if they continue to go to some of the same things we're talking about, they'll just pick them apart. And it'll be much easier on them if they can kind of line up what we're going to do every third down.
This could be a 2.5-hour game on Sunday.
Well, I'm all for a 2.5-hour game because that means I get home early and hopefully sipping on some.
That means somebody was running a pill.
Victory whiskey.
Yeah, well, that could happen.
What?
All right, coming up next in the huddle, a couple of former Jets coaches in the news.
Know.
One has a new gig. The other wants another gig so badly. That's coming up in the huddle. It's a morning shift, Sports Radio, 1990 game. Question for you guys. One arm or two arms? Drummer.
He has two here.
He has two here. Yep.
How many do you know with one?
Well, he has one eventually.
It was right after Pyromania was released. I think 85, that's when Rick Allen was in that car wreck.
I got you. I was sitting there going, I mean, like, if the odds are he has two. I don't know.
Welcome back to the morning show.
They made a special drum kit for him.
Sports Radio. He designed it himself, which is kind of brilliant on his part and good for him. Welcome back to the morning shift. Triple in for Tiffany. World Series Game 1 tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
You watching?
First pitch. It's a glamorous. I'll peek at it. It is kind of glamorous, nostalgic. And by the way,
it's a trick question because you'll be watching United against Miami.
Absolutely, I will.
Maybe he's got more than one TV. Maybe he's the Abe Gordon of the show.
Not really, no.
Abe's got a command.
I'm not the Abe Gordon of anything. And coincidentally,
that might be a good thing, depending on what you're talking about.
Yo. 32 years ago today, two outs, bottom of the ninth inning, Otis Nixon lays down a bunt, thrown out at first, Toronto wins the World Series over the Atlanta Braves.
Is there any better, worse way to lose, to have the final out end in the World Series than a bunt?
I remember that, so I was like, oh, good Lord. I knew the Braves didn't really have a chance that year. They should have won the year before against Minnesota. Should have won in 96. Had no shot in 99 against the Yankees.
Yeah, they didn't. That was a bad year.
Yeah, it's a bad year. Hawks get the win last night to open the season 121-16 over the Brooklyn Nets. And it was a game that I thought I was watching 1996 basketball.
Oh, was it actually physical? Is that what you meant?
It was very, very physical.
I like
it. Clotheslined, yeah.
I love that kind of play.
Daniels almost he's almost decapitated by Nick Claxton.
Yeah, Nick, there was nothing not dirty about what Claxton did.
He wound up and he gave him a soup bone. He, like a lariat in professional wrestling. A lariat.
Might as well just two hands shoved him in the back as he went up. I mean, and what did you think was going to happen? You thought, I love that Dyson Daniels got back up in his face. That shows you something right there. You love to see that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, there was a few intricate details in that game last night that were worth kind of paying attention to. Obviously, Kobe Bufkin on the mend. Vic Krejci handling the ball a little bit when Trey's out. I think that he's one of my favorite. I'm gonna get the jersey that says Krejci on the back. You know
he's
what I mean?
A little ball of energy at 6 foot eight, and he actually handles the ball pretty well. He's in the NBA for a reason.
I'm here for it. He's gritty. He's on like a 2-way contract last year and all these things. And like, yeah,
he's one of those guys just scratching and clawing to keep his gig in the NBA, and good for him.
Yeah, to your point, I thought Dyson Daniels was better handling the ball than I thought he would be. And look, I think that it was closer than a lot of people maybe wanted it to be, but you hit your free throws, and I think you're in a much better spot.
Yeah, they gave him a lot of second-chance shots. But Trey seems like he's playing the bearded Trey, by the way.
Mm. I'm a big fan of bearded Trey.
I like bearded Trey. Looks like he's playing with a little bit of joy, kind of unbridled, unburdened, and the assist.
He just looks more matured.
Beard will do that to you.
Yep. Yeah. He looks like he's 35 now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look. Love it. The vibe that he's putting off, and I said this yesterday, Rob, he feels freed.
Yep.
He feels confident, and he feels like you can tell he's taking ownership of this team, which is all I've ever asked for. It's all I've ever asked for from him is to take ownership of the team. You can tell he has. You love to see it. He's clearly. Did you see the way he reacted when Richichet made his first three?
His first three. Yeah, Richichet comes in the game, about 3 minutes left in the first, and immediately hits his first three. And the joy on Trey, he was happy for Zach. Then Zach was happy for Zach, it seemed like.
That is beautiful. I love seeing it. I was like, man, that's what leaders do. It's cool. This is his team. He knows that. He's finally gotten rid of guys that he didn't get along with for whatever reason, or that they couldn't coexist, or however you want to put it out there.
I think also the fact that it seems like his peers aren't too fond of Trey. I think Trey's trying to rehabilitate his image. He's starting to worry about his legacy a little bit as well, because I need to grow up and take ownership of this team and do things the right way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. All right, let's go in the huddle. Got a couple of former Jets coaches in the news. Robert Saleh, he just popped up at another place. He joins Matt LaFleur in a fluid role. They're big-time buddies. Rex Ryan on coaching again. Hell yeah, I want to go back. I don't know if the NFL wants him back.
Well, you know, he was, I think, close to being in Dallas, but he basically said they wouldn't pay him what he wanted, and so he didn't do it. I can't imagine that he had any leverage in that conversation. I don't know what that sounded like.
Hey, I like his gig now. He certainly is opinionated. He doesn't hold back. I give him that.
Those veneers have given him new life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Stop capping your teeth.
Those veneers give him new life. No, I like the Saleh move too, man. Like, it's just one of those things where you look at a guy who has a lot of football knowledge, a lot of knowledge about the NFL, and you say, dude, I don't know what you're going to do yet, but we'd want you in the building. Awesome. I mean, think about how you would feel right now if you were a Falcons fan. They were like, hey, we're going to get Robert Saleh in the building to hang out with.
He's going to be like Nick Saban and start giving former coaches analyst roles.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's honestly what it feels like. Although, I will say, I just think when you have, especially on defense right now, I'd love to have, when you bring in guys with different perspectives, it can be awesome. They just have different ideas. And so I love the fact that, you know, he's already kind of bounced back, and I don't think this affects any of the money he's still going to be making, because it's a boatload from Woody Johnson and the Jets.
Yeah, look, good for him. It's a smart move. What did we talk about the other day? We talked about the Falcons. Zach Robinson is adding things to this offense, and you said it was in a good way. It's kind of how guys take from what they see, right? And what fits their
system.
It's
a copycat league.
Yeah.
It is.
So why not bring in a very, very good defensive mind like Robert Saleh and say, hey, what have you seen around the league and maybe you did in New York that might work with some of our personnel? There's not, dude, sometimes you, if when you listen to others and you're open-minded, it creates growth.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, different ideas.
Yeah, you're just sprinkling. He's just sprinkling water on his defense, letting a little sunshine, and it's going to grow.
Trade deadline, NFL, 12 days away, Tuesday, November 5th, 4 p.m. And it's so funny. The trade deadline in NFL used to be an afterthought. Now it resembles Major League Baseball all the way. You've got a lot of wide receivers changing addresses. Cooper Kupp's name's being bannered about. That sounds glamorous, but he can't stay healthy, gentlemen.
There are some wide receiver needy teams that I think will take a look. It's just too much money. That's the bottom line. They want people to take on the contract for Cooper Kupp. He's due like $60 million over the next couple of years. I mean, it's just something outrageous that I don't know if you can find some kind of partner to financially make it work, but they can't. Nobody can really afford to take on that entire salary, I don't think, with the risk involved.
It seems like the big thing now are guys can be short-term rentals, or you go out and get a guy that's already kind of signed, is not going to throw a wrench into your salary cap.
It just seems like to me like wide receivers right now are closers in baseball. Like you're just trading wide receivers and like you're like, oh, we're going to make a playoff run. Let's get, you know, this guy here, that guy here. And they're like the closer, but those and edge rushers, like wide receivers and edge rushers right now, closers in bullpen depth in baseball. When you go to the deadline, you go, well, we think we're good, but man, we could use some help on the back end of that bullpen to be able to get it done. And then you trade for a closer and he takes you the distance.
I know Terry Fontenot's on the phone. You guys think anything's going to happen? Who's out there? This could be maybe some second tier guys could maybe be impactful. I don't think you're going to have somebody that's going to come in and just be dominant.
If something happens, it would be great. I also think if nothing happens, don't be the guy that says, why didn't they do anything? Because you know good and well that he tried to.
He tried.
I know that Josh Uche in New England is a name that's been linked to the team. Now, it's been linked not by anyone inside the NFL circle.
No.
But it's just a name that is out there that could you go back? He would walk in here and think he would lead our team with 2 sacks this year, but
we got D'Angelo Malone to
and a 7th. Don't forget the 7th; it's very important. And now we're losing a special teams ace if that happened with D'Angelo Malone. He's been very good.
He probably actually holds some value when you look at some of these playoffs. Here's what I'll say, Rob. To your point, to your question, Raimondi and ESPN, all the ESPN writers kind of had a list yesterday of potential trades. Raimondi said the name he brought up is actually Richie Grant. Because Richie Grant is a guy that's played some good football in the NFL, and some teams need safety help, but he probably holds some value if you want to go out and get something. The name that was brought up kind of coming into Atlanta by Walder on ESPN on this article was actually wide receiver Christian Kirk, which I was like, I don't even know how that would even fit. But
was that the article where he's talking about Ray McLeod hasn't he mentioned him. This would be an upgrade over Ray. That's what it was. Yeah, I saw that.
Let me ask you a question. Does he watch the Falcons play, or has he read the stat line of Ray McLeod? Because you can say whatever you want about Ray McLeod, but he has been clutch. He's
been pretty good, I thought.
A ton of third downs. He's been in the first few games of the season, he was the only guy getting open, I felt like.
That's what I was thinking when I read that. I go, has this guy watched the Falcons this year?
I
didn't take it as a knock on Ray McLeod's play. Not how I kind of looked at it.
Let me tell you something. You're going to bring in Christian Kirk, who is making 18. His average annual value is $18 million now, and he's got another year left.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't agree with it. I just didn't take it as a knock on Ray. I just think that it is what it is. When you look at explosive plays and explosive players, it never hurts to add one.
That just screams, I don't watch the Falcons play. I haven't watched. I read some stats. I knew that. And this is what I'm going
to
go with.
Had a deadline. Had to put something out there.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw crap on
a
wall.
We're miking you up, Mike.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit. Obviously, there's more stories around the NFL. There is another starting quarterback, and it's just the same as the old over in Carolina right now. And also, Squid Billy, we've been talking about it, man. He is expecting. He's starting to show a little bit. What is the name going to be of the little squid? Well, I've got some ideas. You don't want to miss it.
Damien.
Yeah, don't want to miss it. Coming up on the other side. It's Mic'd Up, it's Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Want a smart, lasting, clean? Well, Zero Res. 8:30 tomorrow night in Miami, Atlanta United. This improbable appearance into the playoffs. They were an afterthought for me, I got to admit. But hearing a jubilant Mike Conte the other night talking trash to the people in Montreal, that was blissful. Hawks get the win last night over
Sorry
Brooklyn.
You lost, but have a good drive home.
Oh, so good.
That guy played for Tiffany yesterday in Which One Wednesday.
It's fantastic. It was on this day in 1979, Yankees manager Billy Martin punched out a marshmallow salesman in a barroom brawl. I don't blame him. Those guys are the worst.
Billy Martin, man.
Like, who sells marshmallows? Like, I don't understand.
That guy that Billy Martin punched out?
Whose job is that well-defined? You know what I mean? Like, I could see a candy salesman or like, no, marshmallows.
He found a niche, brother.
I mean, man.
Well, maybe he worked for a marshmallow company.
Georgia on a bye week, Georgia Tech up there in Blacksburg at noon on Saturday. Falcons, Buccaneers, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Falcons, a 2.5-point favorite in that.
Can I correct something I made a mistake on earlier? We were talking about Georgia Tech playing VPI this weekend.
It wasn't VPI.
It wasn't VPI that they tied that year. They actually beat them 6-3. It was VPI. They were still VPI.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But it was North Carolina that they tied.
It was
13.
That's right.
It was 13-all.
Right.
So I just want to apologize.
Let's do those hiccups. That's year of the fifth down for Colorado, too.
Apologize to VPI, or who we apologize to? Just the people?
The Georgia Tech fans out there that probably are up in arms.
All right.
Well, they opened up a can on Nebraska in that bowl game.
Oh, they did they ever. Sean Jones was one of my favorite college players of all time.
That was just a loaded team. Fantastic team. All right.
Speaking of one of my favorite college players of all time, Bryce Young, back in the saddle for Carolina this weekend after the Andy Dalton, I guess it's a thumb injury that he had from his car accident.
Yeah, he sprained his thumb. What's the problem?
Well,
tape an aspirin to it.
There's not a problem. My question was going to be for you guys. Bryce Young, all right, he gets this, I don't want to call it a second chance, but this year he's getting thrust back in his role. Like, if y'all are Bryce Young, what's your mentality going in this game? Like, that was my first. I'm like, are you just going out there going, I'm about to let this thing eat. Like, I'm going to straight up Gardner Minshew, Uncle Rico this thing down the field. or are you like, you know, I'm like last year's Sam Howell in Washington. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm going to throw four picks, but I'm going to get about 400 yards.
I hope he just says to hell with it.
You know what I mean?
Just let it go.
We talked.
Trust your eyes, Bryce.
We saw him after the game that we were up there other week, and he's such a nice, humble,
soft-spoken,
polite. I don't call
very slight figure.
I hate to call him a kid, but kid, human being, he is awesome. Yeah, I hope he goes out there with that
mentality.
You see
that video footage of him walking into the facility with the backpack on? He looked like a high school junior.
Yeah. He did. And honestly, look, I kind of joke about him being one of my favorite college players, although he's up there. He was a joy to watch at Bama. But when he was drafted first overall and people would ask me, like, oh, man, Bryce, he's going to ball out in the NFL. I'm like, dude, I hope so. But it's like you look at natural talent other than the cerebral, like look at natural physical talent. And you're like, I've never seen a first overall pick like that. And that's just not usually what you think of when you think of first overall picks. Kind of the opposite of like a Myles Garrett, you know what I mean? Like just chiseled out of stone. So speaking of just natural instincts, let's talk about Squid's kid.
Or chiseled out of stone.
All right, so yeah, if you haven't heard, Bo is with child.
Apparently there was one person out there that still didn't know, Marty Zinno.
Shout out to the Zen House.
He wouldn't have been making bold predictions about Georgia and Texas.
So,
he would have known.
Yeah, so this article pops up yesterday, and the headline
You're
is like...
You're a fertile little thing, aren't you?
Hey.
He only needed one shot.
The opportunity showed itself. I did not.
And
throw,
Bo was like, "I'm in
not,
there."
I did not throw up mom's spaghetti.
Yeah.
And he's ovulating right now as we speak as well.
So this article pops up yesterday, and it's like Sarah has fallen out of the rankings in terms of most popular names after 60 years.
Oh wow!
And I was like, "Oh wow, maybe Michael's fallen out too." And I looked at it and like, "No, it's like at 20." I was like, "Man, that sucks." I'm ready for that one to go by way of the White Buffalo. You know what I mean? Like, I'm tired of the Michaels around here. There's like six just at this station. I need to come up with an alter ego. Maybe I'll just go by Mikey P from now on. But anyways, the conversation then kind of switches. I was actually talking to my dad about this, and my dad brings up the fact that, you know, Michael, this, that, and the other, like it was a good name back then.
I'm
like,
and your dad's a funny, whimsical dude, too.
Funny,
right?
Dude, man. Yep. Witty. So he starts talking about how we've always named our cars in my family. He's like, you know, we've just always, like, my truck's name is Denarius. It's the Denali truck. It's the Denarius, the Denali. He calls, he has an old Cadillac Escalade truck, and it's called Pearl because that's just the color of it. You know what I mean? And I was thinking to myself, Bo, I wonder how y'all are doing on the name front. Now, I don't want to know the name. I don't want you to publicize it. All I want to know is, Have you narrowed it down to just a few, or are y'all still just wide open?
Just name it like the way celebrities name their kids, just weird stuff.
She has...
Yeah, like a direction.
She has a couple. She has a list that she's given me. She has a name that she likes the most.
Southeast Morgan.
I'm not sold or out. I'm not either way. Okay. I'm still in the middle.
This is perfect.
I think Cersei Morgan would be a great name.
Yeah, you like that?
But
all right, this is Cersei. Perfect. All right, so here's what I want to know. First of all...
Please welcome to the stage, Cersei.
Are there any... Yeah. Chastity Morgan. Are there any names that have been, like, is there any, like, not names specific, but just any parts of names that have been rolled out? And let me explain this. When we were picking names, anything, any first name that ended in S-O-N, we ruled out because that backed up to Johnson didn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like Branson Johnson. You're not, no.
Like,
well,
I
kind of
like
work,
that.
Right?
That sounds like a city or something.
Yeah. So we weren't going to do that. Anything
NASCAR driver.
Like, are you, would you be on board with, like, does it need to start with an M? Like Mila Morgan Morgan?
No. I have thought that we could just name the kid Morgan and then it'd just be like
Morgan
one
Morgan?
Name. No, just one name. Just
well, can you imagine
America's
the advertising possibilities you would have for her for Morgan
so awesome.
Morgan, America's largest injury law firm? Just be like, hey, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9. The year is 2052. My name is Morgan Morgan, brought to you by
Morgan and Morgan.
So you haven't ruled out anything.
Morgan Zero
is what you're trying to say.
No, we've ruled out names. Like if I dated a girl with a name, it's out. If I watched her dance on a stage at one point in time, that name is out.
Man, poor Destiny.
I know.
Anyways, it's just... This is one of those things that is so hard, man. So I just wanted to check in on the name front. Let me give you the top girls' names for this year. Olivia, okay. Amelia,
hold
Emma.
On, I think Olivia might be on her list.
Olivia, okay. That's number one. Amelia, Emma, Sophia, Charlotte.
I can't name it Charlotte.
Can't name it Charlotte. Isabella, Ava, Mia, Ellie, and Luna.
So
those
Ava
are, that's your top
and
two.
Ellie are both out because those are my niece's names.
Okay.
My three nieces.
And Ellie.
And Kate is
Caitlin
and Kate is out because that's my niece's name as well.
And
my neighbor's name.
Some of these names I'm shocked to see are on top. Like the number five boy name is Mateo. Like
that's
just,
a
like,
terrible name.
Like,
I knew a Mateo. He was
but you can't
he went,
say
he served
in the microphone that's a terrible name.
Oh yeah.
Like, there's
I'm sorry.
People out there listening named Mateo.
Well, yeah. Hold on. I have a dislike for that name because I knew a person I didn't like very
there
well.
It was somebody famous named Mateo. Maybe it was one of the Bella twins or something.
My friend, I was actually the best man at his wedding.
Mateo?
Their child is named Mateo.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
What's your buddy's name?
His name is Jonathan.
Yeah, not Caitlin.
Jonathan, it's a great name. I apologize.
Shout out JJ.
If you go to the Grove at Ole Miss and yell out the name Caitlin, 55 girls will turn around, so there's a lot of them.
Here's my final question about this. I don't want to press you too much, and this is a very personal decision.
This is going to get me in trouble, you know.
Can we, on the show, make a bracket? Can we make a name bracket and kind of maybe just seed the top 20 options, and we just work down from there?
Let me give you the realest answer I can give you. You know my wife.
Right.
Your wife knows my wife.
Sure.
If you want to do that, you arrange that. I want nothing to do with it because I'm not going to go to her with that.
Okay.
She has to give permission because
the bracket challenge.
I don't want.
You know what I mean?
Let me tell you something about me. I screw up enough in my relationship that I don't need another thing to be to put myself in the doghouse. Yeah. All right. I do that well enough on my own.
16 seed Violet facing off against 1 seed Olivia would just be the showdown.
Well,
of the
I can
century.
Tell you, Violet is not in.
Okay.
All right. Olivia, all right. I do like that name. I wonder if I could go to the floor with Olivia.
Well, you know, my daughter's name is Drew. Drew Ann. So Drew's like an NIA school then.
How do you spell it?
D-R-E-W.
Yeah. My buddy David said you should name her Guten. That way in German it says good morning.
Oh, I thought he said gluten at first. I was like,
Guten Morgen.
You know what? I'm done with this.
I'm weak. Oh, man. Let's do it.
That's pretty funny, man.
That's been mic'd up.
Well, well, well. We have one Rusty Manziel warming up in the bullpen, going to join us. That's always fun. That one segment's never enough for Rusty Manziel.
It isn't, man.
It's such a tease, a tantalizing, titillating tease with Rusty Manziel coming up next on The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to The Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. Not going to be in tomorrow. I'm not doing it. I ain't doing back-to-backs. I told you.
Well, you
ain't doing it.
I'm going to tell you something. your burner account's going to be upset because you've already tweeted about yourself on your burner account. And now I'm going to have to reply tomorrow and say, well, see, he's not the man because he didn't show up.
Well, A-Rod, we're playing a little Van Halen from 1982.
Yeah, how come I don't get Enter Sandman?
I heard that earlier, dude. Those are one-hitter quitters, dude.
Y'all can't go back to the well on those. I love some old-school Van Halen, but it don't get no better than Sandman.
I did that as a foreshadowing of Rusty Rocks today.
You're going to love Rusty Rocks. You and Steak, I may have to calm him down on this one.
I used to love Rusty Rocks until you fired shots at Top Hat Tuesday.
You fired shots first.
What do you mean?
Yeah, you fired shots. Ooh, you came out with your own little. You tried to take Rusty's gig and do it for yourself, and I just don't appreciate
it.
We don't need all the negativity.
I just felt like I needed a little bit of smoke and some Enter Sandman. We don't have a mascot. I'm not getting fired here.
Oh, it's the field that caught on fire, right?
Yeah, I reread that, and it was the field that caught on fire. So I'm sure, at this
just
point, we can catch this place.
Story.
I don't know. Would it matter if we caught this place on fire?
I don't want to hijack it, but I'll tell you this. I was on the field in Indianapolis when Alabama and Georgia came out. That fire is no joke.
Oh.
When you're close to those things, I could not believe the amount of heat those things put out.
No eyebrows
left.
Holy moly.
Let me tell you something.
Puts out some, it's amazing they still do that in college because I'm telling you, I was like, whoa.
I know Mike's ran through it, and it said it singed eyebrows. We've been on the field many a times in pregame, and when they used to have it, it would go off.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, well, if it was a cold day somewhere, it'd be nice, but it was never cold in the dome. It's always 68 degrees.
I love the pyro celebrations, man. The cannons, the fireworks. Give me all that stuff.
Dude, my high school shoots a cannon. And we don't score many touchdowns anymore, and I can hear it from my house. So it used to light up Friday nights, but now we're just
sporadic.
You might hear a boom about 9:30, but the old cannon at my high school was awesome.
Pyrotechnics is great unless you're at a Great White concert, though.
Right? Oh, dude.
There we go.
Cool. Too soon?
You know,
Lord
what's funny?
Have mercy.
Is we'll be down in Tampa this weekend, and hopefully.
So this hour's brought to you by
who's going to say that. I'm sitting that one out.
I buy that one.
I hope there are no cannons fired on Sunday, Rusty, down in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, man.
I don't need Gene Deckerhoff saying, fire the cannons.
Yeah. Listen, those two receivers out, you don't want anybody injured, but you got to take advantage of a situation like that.
Yeah, but suddenly they got a three-headed monster in the backfield.
I know, but.
Can we start with the Kennesaw State last night?
I watched the whole game.
The 1,500, they were plus 1,500 on the gambling line on the money
27.5-point dog, right?
Yeah, you were minus 4,500 if you wanted to bet on Liberty last night. So you'd have played 4,500 to win 100 last night. That's how much of an underdog they were. Bohannon just watched his interview on CBS HQ.
Yep.
He's fired up, man. That's it. He's been there a long time and seen a lot of success, but obviously not recently.
Well, having to go to Conference USA and a roster transition, having a couple of key injuries, those type of things, it's not a great setting. But to have your team, boy, they 0-5, 0-6 and
6.
To have your team 0-6, you know you're on TV. Here's the one shot that Conference USA has to get a at-large playoff bid was Liberty. That was – the Conference USA this morning has got to be going, what in the heck just happened?
Good.
That was a $10 million loss almost. I mean, that was a massive loss because nobody else in that conference is getting in now.
And in the name of parity.
Man, I tell you what, but what a huge win for Kennesaw State and what it says for Brian Bohannon and those kids to play that hard. And to listen, Liberty jumps on them 7-0. You think, here we go. It's about to be. And then next thing you know, they score. They score again, and they held on. And I watched the whole game, man. I'm a sicko. I had Middle Tennessee State and Jack State on my laptop and on my TV.
You are a sicko, man.
Dude, I loved
it. That's definitely sicko.
I went upstairs to watch both games.
Wow, man.
I love it.
That's a man that doesn't have
and
small
not even
children
gambling on him too.
What did even gamble?
You're watching it with pure intentions.
I watched it, man, and thought, God, slow down, football season. Damn, slow down.
Hey, man, let me ask you about this. There's such a kerfuffle about the Texas fans throwing stuff on the field. I like what the SEC did to deflect away from the real subject of the matter, and that's the officiating.
Yeah, it was bad, man. I mean,
that's like, don't look at this. Look over there.
Here's the whole problem, and I don't know. We do have Kirby Smart on this morning, Steakhouse. I don't know how much he'll get into and what he can and what he can't say, but I'll say this. Every call, it seemed like, and every – Georgia, I think, went 0-for-3 on reviews. One of those, when Kirk Herbstreit goes, yeah, that's a touchdown. Yeah, that I don't even know why we're looking at that. And then you sit there and go, and he goes, wait a minute, what do you see? And then Chris Fowler goes, well, here's the elevated view. Yeah, he's in, but the side view makes it a touchdown. You're just like, what's going on? And between the Georgia fans, and I do not know if this is true, it seems to be, they have found this man's LinkedIn. The head official, Matt Loeffler.
I saw this.
So Matt Loeffler,
it's like clockwork, man.
So Matt Loeffler was a TCU graduate. Okay, that has nothing to do with Texas. He has been a business owner for 34 years in the state of Texas. Okay, congratulations.
Well, it helps him if Texas is good.
His son has graduated from the University of Texas. His daughter-in-law is a graduate of the University of Texas. I don't know exactly how you bring that into, because I'm going to tell you, there's some human nature involved at some times. I don't care what you say. I don't know that you should put that variable into a game like that. I tell you what, if Alabama and Auburn lose a game like that and the head official's son went to Auburn, can you imagine what was going on? It'd be an issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So Villager's torches going after Frankenstein.
At the end of the day, Georgia went out there and handled business, but I just don't know how you get a situation where you have
how far down the family tree do you go when you start outlawing? Well, I don't know.
That's tough. When you're at Christmas dinner, when you're at Christmas dinner for the rest of your life, at some point you got to say, wait a minute, maybe this isn't the crew for this. I don't know.
His cousin twice removed's grandfather was a grad assistant at Texas in 1978.
What? I did hear something. Somebody had not, they had a thought, and I want to ask you about LSU-Texas A&M because that's the biggest game of the weekend.
Massive game.
But somebody had the kind of thought of, is it time for not to have conference officials anymore and kind of have in some way in college football, can you get together and basically have officiating groups that aren't in a conference, and then that way – there's kind of nothing on the line. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to think about. We've seen calls sometimes that go away, and you're like, well, kind of like what you just talked about. It was a $10 million loss for Conference USA last night.
Yep.
So there's not a $10 million loss for the future Pac-12 or whatever, you know?
Or the officials from the geographic area of the conference.
I don't know. I've always thought, if you're going to get to be an NFL professional, if you're going to get to the SEC, and there is hundreds of millions of dollars in these leagues, period, riding on this the outcomes of these things, I don't know why these guys aren't full-time employees. Why don't you pay these guys and say, okay, either you want to get in this career and we're going to take care of you from June the 1st until January the 1st, you're a full-time employee of this company.
Yeah, I just don't know if that makes them better. I mean, you still have people that are full-time employees that are terrible at their job.
Well, and honestly,
you can invest in that. Because these guys work in – I know one of the head basketball officials, and he does national championship games. He's a banker Monday through Thursday. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what could he do to review tape and to learn 3 days a week going in? Maybe he could do it.
Here's what I will say, just to kind of bring this home. In the end, on the whole trash on the field thing, the right call was made.
It was the right call.
That's the thing I keep going back to. Like, yeah, we can talk about ties and all that stuff, and there were definitely some ticky-tack overturns, whatever. You know, you didn't get the benefit of the doubt. But, like, on that one specifically that everybody's been up in arms about, I hate how they came about it.
The problem is, Mike, the problem there is, end of the day, it was the right call. The problem is, next time you have a holding call and somebody don't like it and the student section throws something onto the field and causes a 7.5-minute delay, are they going to discuss that other guy going, hey,
right?
That's the problem, the precedent you set. I had no problem. Once they spotted the ball, I'm like, that's going to be a call. That call right there is going to kind of be about this game. What happened after that, a 7.5-minute delay, and then you see the video of Sark going to talk to that official, and then that official grabs his earpiece, or he puts his hand on his right ear, and then he walks to the center of the field, and then they start discussion. So they're not perfect. They're humans, but that was a judgmental call, and that has been part of football from day one.
Isn't that the essence of what home field advantage is, though? Where you can bully them into changing a call. That's what it's all about.
I tell you what, they bullied them with about 3,000 Dasanis.
What do you think about this LSU-A&M game? Because A&M is very physical on that defensive line, Rusty.
This is the top two teams in SEC right now.
Yes, it is.
This is the top two. This is, I mean, Georgia-Texas, huge game. Georgia-Alabama, everybody talks about. This is the, I saw Billy Lucci, who's one of the market leader of Texas A&M, owns Texags. He said this is the biggest home game in I think 30 years for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
This is how important this game is.
That Mike Elko hire is looking good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely is. They play tough. Here's what I'll say. I'm rooting for A&M.
Yeah.
because I want to see this Texas-Texas A&M showdown at the end of the year.
Dude, can you imagine?
I mean,
you talking about two Colts?
Bare knuckle brawl.
You talking about two Colts?
Bare knuckle brawl. And is that Thanksgiving? The amount of money floating around that place.
Is that Thanksgiving week? Oh, dude.
And I'm pretty sure it's. I'm pretty sure it's on Friday.
Oh my gosh!
I might be off on that. It might not be Black Friday. I thought it was. So that one's going to be.
I think it's a big game,
one.
Bo. I mean, LSU's playing good. How about Whit Weeks, kid out of Coney County? Whit Weeks' dad, David Weeks, played at Georgia. He was a captain. Played with Kirby Smart. He's got two sons at LSU. He's got Wes Weeks and Whit Weeks. He's got a third son, Zach Weeks, who's a 2026 tight end at Oconee County. Already got Power 5 offers. I've known David since college, played at Marist. Whit Weeks has turned LSU around. They lost Harold Perkins, and everybody's like, they're in trouble. Whit Weeks is freaking balling down
about,
there.
How about Clemson?
The kind bad of, dude, man.
How about Clemson just kind of suddenly just
well,
here's
what I
very
say,
quietly
here, here, Here's himself. What I want to say about Clemson. And everybody's talking about Clemson's right. Clemson's going to get – play this SEC schedule. Play what Florida's about to play. Go through what Florida's about. You know, Clemson is over there in that division, and they're just cruising along and getting better, and everybody's getting healthy, and everybody's group hugging, and we love each other. Play the schedule that Florida's about to play. And I'm telling you, this SEC discussion with these schedules, and that's why the Big Ten commissioner and the SEC commissioner went to Nashville for a private meeting, because I'm telling you right now, they're looking at the scope. And they're going to find out how they can protect their leagues, because those two leagues and those schedules, it's murderers.
Well, and it's the same. We have had this conversation about the Big 12 champion maybe not getting the top four. You know, if Navy or Army went out, like you look at the Big 12 schedule and you know BYU and you know Iowa State, whatever. It's like, God, it just feels like robbery that you might see one of those get a four seed.
Yeah, man. I mean, and Clemson. Talking about leaving the ACC, what in the hell are you thinking?
Yeah, you got it made.
Dude, I'd be paying extra to stay. Like, can we pay more? Can we pay more? Because that's where you want to be. Like, it's great for them.
I know we got to go to commercial, Rob. I just want to finish up by saying I think it's LSU's schedule down the stretch. Ugly as well.
Yes.
You got A&M, Bama, Florida, Vandy, and then you finish up with Oklahoma. I think that's a tough one as well. So there's a couple of them when you look at it and go, man, rough stretch coming up.
I'm telling you, I'm going to ask Kirby this. There's going to be one to two SEC schools that's going to get left out that shouldn't have got left out.
Yeah, I agree.
There's going to be one to two, I'm guaranteeing you.
Mm-hmm.
This schedule, this league, when you start doing South Carolina's defense and you look at Vandy, how good they are offensively, this league is no joke right now.
Miss State might get someone. Florida might get someone.
Florida's getting
hot. Mississippi State's going to get somebody.
Well, yeah, just expand it all to 16. Somebody. We'll be all right, right?
They will at some point.
32 teams and have the Big Ten and the SEC play for it.
Just do a college basketball bracket.
Have a national championship Easter weekend.
Yeah. Easter.
Half Division I.
By the time we
have
get done.
Have an Easter weekend.
You get a bid. You get a bid.
All right, Rusty Manziel coming up on the Steakhouse. And Rusty Rocks.
You're going to like it, man.
I'm going to love it.
You're going to love it.
All right. All right, coming up, Hawks last night. Saw some things I liked. It's one game, I know. They could be destined for the play-in, I know. A couple things stood out last night that encouraged me, though. That's coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to the Morning Shift this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain. Go to markspain.com, get to packing if you want to sell your house. Oh, by the way.
Ding.
Let's do the 10th caller, 404-726-0929, for a chance to win a pair of tickets to Winterfest, the All White Affair, Volume 2 concert. You get to see people like Escape, BBD, Q Parker and Friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's coming up on Friday, December 20th, 8 o'clock, State Farm Arena. 10th caller, get to go to Winterfest, the All White Affair. All right, gentlemen. Hawks get the win last night in their opener, and
first place Hawks.
First place Hawks. Yes. Yeah,
first place.
And they're
maybe
trending.
maybe a tie.
This rate, they'll go 82-0, right?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, as I said to open the show, I looked at last night watching this game as a burden because I don't really like October NBA basketball. But you know, there's some new faces on the Hawks. You're hoping for something to be excited about, something to be optimistic about. And I saw it last night, certainly.
That's right.
Caw-caw, caw-caw.
I just feel like I I've mentioned this a number of times, I keep saying it, I'm ready to be hurt again. But there is something to be said about the youth that you feel around this team and the grittiness and the hunger that you hope they display, right? obviously, Zachary Richey does not start last night. DeAndre Hunter does. But, you know, watching him step in, hit the three-pointer, Dyson and Daniels playing good defense throughout the game.
That really stood out for me. That's one of the things I teased about being really excited about was Dyson Daniels actually showing some offensive acumen as well.
I agree. And just all the way around, man. Jalen Johnson coming fresh off the extension. Obviously, you know, still getting things done. Probably, honestly, the most important player we have. Then Trae Young, just an extra spring in his step, even though he looks like he's 10 years older than he did last year.
Playing with joy.
I just think that there is something to be said about the mindset that I saw last night, and it was a closer game than you wanted it to be. You didn't hit your free throws. Shots weren't falling as easily as you wanted to. But I don't know, man. I'm just intrigued. I think that's the word I'm looking for right now. I'm just intrigued by this team.
It was energizing to watch a team on the court that looked and felt energized in their play instead of watching a team that feels like they're going through the motions and they don't like each other on the court.
I looked at this team last night. I thought they look like they like each other.
They're having fun.
Celebrating with each other, having fun.
And I think that it's all due to the fact that Trae Young has a beard.
Yes.
Oh, it is. He's now like the avuncular uncle.
He has now became my favorite bearded player in the NBA.
Man,
Trae Young.
And on a side note, the DeJounte news coming out of New Orleans last night that he
that's unfortunate, dude. I hate it.
Fractured hand in his Pelicans debut is just enough to make you nauseous.
Well, you hear things here and there about how you know when things end like they did. Let's be honest. I don't think it was the nicest split in the world. It becomes toxic, and you saw that on the court from this team last season. All that said, I love DeJounte Murray. I love the way he plays. He has that killer instinct in him on the court. I absolutely hate it for him because he needed a fresh start in New Orleans. Yeah. And to start with it getting injured, it's so unfortunate. I hope he recovers quickly and can play still a good portion of the season.
Well, and to Rob's point, it's October. Right. Trae had the fractured hand. He had surgery last year and he was out, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. You would hope that by the time the calendar turns that DeJounte can be back to kind of full health and still have the season that a lot of people were hoping.
And it depends on the player, too. I mean, if it was Ben Simmons, he'd be out till 2027. But since it's DeJounte Murray, I expect him to be back before the season's
what
over.
What position was Ben Simmons playing last? Oh, Dylan's on the phone. Oh, he was in the building. I kept checking back on my TV going, what is going on here? So. I don't know, man. They had a weird structure with that last night.
Kongu last night, 28 points, so career high. He was playing with his hair on fire.
Shot lights out.
Deeper team, better defensive team.
Hopefully
a fun watch.
What's your initial thought when you see Okongwu have a night like that on night one of the season?
Can you please duplicate it?
That's exactly to your point. I'm going, man, is this a new Okongwu?
Yep.
Or is it like, man, I hate that we leaned on Okongwu to get 2080. You know what I mean? Like, two different storylines kind of going on simultaneously in my head going, it's night one. Man, it's awesome. Newfound freedom, shooting the ball. And then I'm like, man, that was a tighter game than we wanted to. And somehow we had to get a career night just to pull that one off against one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Well, they're not the worst team in the NBA yet. Right now they're just 0-1. Or they were 0-0 when you played them. So let's, I don't like that. Don't put that bad vibe out there.
Well, what did Vegas have the
They were undefeated.
Over-under, was it 36 and
36,
half?
What you said earlier.
I think it's something along those. Clearly, this is a team that can win 42 games, can't they? I hope.
Okay. That's where we're at. I'll tell you something. All I know is the Brooklyn Nets came in here last night undefeated, and the Hawks gave them their first loss. Yeah. See, that's how you got to think about it, Mike. How am I the positive one?
I never
here?
Imagined that this segment leaves a Bo giving me advice on how to be positive, but here we are. I appreciate it, and I appreciate that advice. It's a
bad luck slept rock over there.
It's not big time Bo or badman Bo. It's bright side Bo. You know what I mean? Bo Stradamus.
I don't like how y'all have a name for me for every mood. It's not like I have mood swings or anything. I'm pretty even keel.
Yeah. All right, Sybil.
No, I was going to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm judging you. I'm not going to do it. Anyways.
All right, Charlotte. Well, that's in town tomorrow. That's a home game, right, Charlotte?
That's right. Friday night. Dukes and Bell will be down there at the arena. So get in early and go see Mike and
8:30,
Carl.
8:30, Atlanta United. Going to Miami. Take on Messi and that Miami squad, of course. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Noon on Saturday, Georgia bye week. Falcons, Buccaneers. Big divisional game on Sunday. Falcons a 2.5-point favorite in that 1 o'clock
game. How about the sneaky, and this is Tiffany's game, UNLV against Boise late night tomorrow
Boise.
Night. Boise. Boise, that's right. So sorry to Dirt Cutter. He used to hammer that home.
I guess UNLV doesn't miss their quarterback who left, right?
Isn't that the thing? It's like, he's not really that good anyway.
Yeah, it's like, okay, bro. Okay.
We're good. He's just okay.
Yeah, we kind of made him. Anyways.
All right, life of you. What is it? What is it? What is it?
Hey, what's your drink of choice when doing when competing in an athletic competition at any point, even if you're playing golf? And non-alcoholic, by the way.
Oh, well, that takes me out of it.
Well, you can say your alcoholic drink. We know where you stand. All right. Next, Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
I love you guys.
They still partying on Barrett Parkway. Welcome back to the Morning Shift.
Yeah.
Kennesaw State, big win last night. Good for them.
All in, baby. Hoo-da-hoo. Hey, we know we got a beer. I got to bring you a beer. Remind me, I'll bring you a beer tomorrow.
I bet Cowboys was hopping last night, too, wasn't it?
That, you know, Cowboys is gone.
It is.
Oh yeah, You didn't know?
I didn't know Cowboys. Bring
the music down,
Dylan.
Oh,
you didn't know,
Dylan.
Oh, wow. You better call somebody.
Rob, they tore Cowboys down, and they built
nail salon,
retirement, Walmart. Apartment homes.
Oh, that's even worse.
Well, I bet they're partying. Even well, you hear about them retirement homes? You been to the Villages?
it's a throwdown in there.
Let me tell you something.
It's Caligula in there, man.
I don't know how many heinous crimes were committed in that Cowboys parking lot, but I do know a few kids were conceived in it
and lost.
I used to have a real estate license. You know, that's the only thing in our country you can legally discriminate against people is you can keep people under age 55 out of those villages.
Yeah,
that's the only thing you can legally discriminate against, and that's why you see so many people throwing money into them. Is because it's like retirement. It's like the only thing you can discriminate based on anything, and they discriminate based on age.
Well, there used to be an apartment complex right there on the Chattahoochee, adults only.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of it. But that talk about an orgy. Talk about an orgy back in the late 70s, early 80s. Good heavens, man alive.
Hey, I got to ask you something. We've been working together now for a month when you've been talking about this Owl Inn. Rob shows up for one day, and you're like, hey, I got to bring you a beer. I've never tasted one. I don't know why this has come to a level of disrespect where Rob gets a beer first, and I've been sitting here for a month and
haven't been offered one.
You've been talking about this Owl Inn for a month. I mean, sheesh, dude. We've had beers together multiple times in the last month. Unbelievable, but Rob gets one first. Whatever.
Quickly for life is Squid, though. 8:30 tomorrow, Atlanta United. Miami and Messi, of course. And I'm telling you, man, Atlanta United, I just ignored them. They were an afterthought. It's like when you end a relationship with a woman, then you run into her a few years later. It's like, wow, she's lovely.
The biggest upset in franchise history happened last time Atlanta United went to Miami. Uh-huh. And, of course, this team looks a lot different than it did a few months ago.
Good for
them. Nonetheless, they weren't scared last time they went down there and got it done.
Okay. Mike, are you done crying? Because I can't have you tearing up during my segment, all right?
Is it? Okay, sure. I just, you know, I'm saying, just, I don't know. I would have offered you a beer.
Get it all out. I want you to cry it all out.
It's just pointing out facts, man. You can get up in arms all you want to.
I'm not up in arms. I mean, I think it's cute. You're all upset. I'll be posting my meat soon enough on the Instagram again. It's coming back, baby.
Anyhow, not the meat man the is topic.
Back. That's right. The official beer sponsor of Kennesaw State Athletics. The same Kennesaw State that saw an undefeated Liberty come in there. Ain't nothing but a thing. They ain't undefeated no more.
Hoo-doo.
How about that?
Yeah.
So like shout that. Out to Owl Inn, which Mike Johnson will get a sip of.
No, I don't need your sympathy, man. It would have meant something if you had offered it to me before you just offered one to Rob. I don't need your sympathy. I don't even want one now. Don't worry about it.
Okay, well, you're missing out.
Maybe a Sprite.
Oh, you know what?
What?
You know what?
What?
You know, that's it. Dylan.
What?
Dylan.
What?
You're going to referee Marcus of Queensberry's rules. Mike and I are fighting after this show because he just crossed a line.
Fair.
I will tell you that you could cross the line with me November 25th. Browngrass Charity Golf Classic. As it turns out, I now have an open spot on my team because Mike has been ejected. He will no longer play with me. No, I'm just kidding. You can play with me.
Good. We'll have to carry you for 18 holes.
Okay, let me tell you something. You know what? We'll play one-on-one. Oh, by the way, next Friday practice round.
Ding.
You don't miss it. I got us a free round. We're playing Parlous Tournament. So, anyways, Pets for Vets is a charity. We've got some great sponsors, including New Realm is signed up. They're in. They're going to have the Al In beer there on the site, so maybe you can get one then, Mike. And don't forget my pens at Twin Peaks. We've got Finley Roofing in, so we have a plethora of sponsors you can still get in. Maybe even a few to be named later. All right. Speaking of drinks, what is y'all's drink of choice? Now, let you think about it for a second. Yes, you can put an alcoholic drink in there, but when you're competing, your game day. Yeah. So I play MGA. So my men's golf league, and when I do the basically my series of events that I go through to get up is I get up there, I hit the range for 30 minutes, right? Get a good lather because it's during the summer, and then I walk into the clubhouse and order a transfusion. And on the way up there, though, I'll drink some water with Mio in it. Normally the green apple energy drink on the way up there. And then that's kind of my drink of choice. So while you guys are thinking and contemplating normal drink of choice is, here's what Chiefs Brian Cook has to have on enduring games.
Can I get some Sprite when you get a chance?
Huh?
Can I get some Sprite when you get a chance?
Who has that?
I don't know about who, but I got Sprite last week. I'm trying to get it again.
Yes, sir. So I got that for you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Where do you want it? Where do you want to keep it?
You go keep it somewhere cool, but I need like little cups of it throughout the game.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the Sprite. This a little bit in the cup. Thank you.
That's so weird, dude.
I've never heard of Sprite. I understand different things. I know Marshawn Lynch had the Skittles, Rob, but Sprite is your drink of choice. It's a little bit different for me.
It makes no sense at all in any direction.
Can I get some Sprite when you get a chance?
Yeah,
there's no caffeine.
Sprite.
There's no hydration. There's nothing of anything that you would need during a football game.
Maybe it's just a taste. Rob, what's your drink of choice?
Jolt Cola. Twice the sugar, twice the caffeine, baby.
Might as well said Mountain Dew.
Heart attack in a can is what that Jolt Cola is.
That's awesome.
I don't even know if they still make it or not.
I think they do.
I'm just a simple, Red Powerade kind of guy.
Red Powerade, huh?
Yeah, Red Powerade, the old fruit punch, man. Just throw it on ice a little bit. Got to drink it on ice. It actually tastes 10 times better out of a Yeti, too. So, thank me later if you're out there listening for that
with
one.
With ice.
Yeah, with ice. Yeti, yeah. Ice, Red Powerade. It's the way to go.
Oh, by the way, I need to talk to you about Yeti.
How do you know when an atheist and a Yeti cooler owner walk into a bar?
Oh.
They tell you.
Yeah. That's the whole, how do you know if they've read the book?
I knew that was coming. Oh, I knew it. Some people are proud of them. And
they should be for the amount they pay for them, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. That's why you got to know somebody.
That knows somebody. That is always true.
Yes, Dylan, what was your drink of choice?
My drink of choice is always blue Powerade because that is the best color of Powerade.
Despite
whatever you guys think. Blue Powerade is what gets me right, and it's what makes me clutch for my intramural basketball games. Don't say a word, Bo.
And I have no problem with the blue
just
Powerade.
Picturing, I'm Dylan's, a fierce. Dylan's face on the front of a magazine with blue Powerade coming out of his pores, and then it says, it's in you.
Hey, I'm all for it. Sign me up.
I go for the old school green Gatorade in the glass bottle.
I do love the lemon lime Gatorade, but you know what we used to do? When we would be out on Saturday nights and Friday nights and we would kind of feel rough the next morning, I'm not going to say why, Mama, if you listen.
Mama.
But I would do the Fierce Grape Gatorade, man. The Fierce Grape Gatorade will kickstart your heart. It is phenomenal. And a calzone from Johnny's Pizza.
Would that kickstart your heart too?
That would
your colon.
Yes, that's exactly what it would do. That grease would hit. There was one time, I'm gonna tell you something, I had to crawl to a bathroom upstairs.
Oh, did your ankles hurt? What do you mean?
If this short gate got to moving, it was gonna be messy.
Oh man, I'm gonna hand it off to the steakhouse. Oh, by the way, Antonio Dang. From Atlanta, Franklin from Covington. They won the tickets. What was that event called? I even forgot what it was called. I'm sorry.
Winterfest.
Thank you very much.
Worldwide Affair.
Winterfest at State Farm Arena. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get the packing. I'm packing right now, heading out. Okay, I'll be back tomorrow. I am doing back-to-back, so I've decided.
Your burner account will be happy.
Both of them.